Hello, and welcome to Big Larry's podcast. This week's edition is Happiness, Humanity, and the Cosmos, where we explore what it means to be happy, why it matters, and how this concept extends beyond humans to all life on Earth, and possibly beyond. I'm your host, and over the next 28 minutes, we'll look at questions that have puzzled philosophers, psychologists, scientists, and everyday people for centuries. We'll consider how happiness is defined, how it works in the animal kingdom, what factors lift us up or bring us down, which regions of the world rank highest in well-being, and even what the major religions and the vastness of the universe have to say about the meaning of life. Sit back for a conversation that weaves together insights from philosophy, neuroscience, psychology, sociology, and spiritual traditions. By the end of this episode, you'll have a broader understanding of how happiness fits into our existence, both as individuals and as members of a much larger cosmic tapestry. Please dive in with this week's expert, Albert, from ChatGPT.
The nature of happiness. Let us begin with a foundational question. What is the nature of happiness? If you ask 10 different people, you might get 10 different answers. Yet most of us have an intuitive sense of what it feels like to be happy. Scholars and thinkers have split happiness into two broad philosophical categories. One is hedonia, which is rooted in the pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain. This perspective, as seen in the works of Epicurus, focuses on the immediate experience of well-being, those moments of joy, comfort, or excitement that we usually describe as feeling good. On the other hand, eudaimonia, an Aristotelian concept, is about flourishing. It centers on living a virtuous life, fulfilling one's potential, and aligning with higher principles like moral excellence. Moving away from purely philosophical definitions, modern psychology has stepped in with positive psychology, championed by researchers like Martin Seligman. Seligman's model of well-being, often referred to as PERMA, highlights five core elements: positive emotion, engagement, relationships, meaning, and accomplishment. Notice how this unites the hedonic, feeling good, and eudaimonic, living meaningfully, dimensions of happiness. But we also have to acknowledge the biological side. Happiness is linked to specific brain circuits and neurotransmitters such as dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins. Engaging in activities like exercise, social bonding, or creative pursuits can influence these chemicals, lifting our mood or giving us a sense of reward. Ultimately, happiness is neither a one-size-fits-all definition nor a constant state. It's an ever-shifting experience shaped by our biology, personal values, social connections, and cultural environment. That's why, for some, happiness might be found in quiet moments of reflection or service to others, while for others, it might be found in the thrill of new adventures. Happiness in the animal kingdom. Next, let's turn to a question that often fascinates animal lovers. Does happiness apply to animals, or is it exclusively human? While animals don't self-report the way we do, scientists can measure positive affective states in non-human species by observing behavioral, physiological, and neurochemical indicators. For instance, dopamine and serotonin, the same neurotransmitters that play a crucial role in our own happiness, are found across many species. A dog wagging its tail with relaxed body language, or a group of dolphins engaging in playful behavior, can be seen as analogous to what we humans label happiness or pleasure. Play is a strong indicator of well-being in many animals. Dogs that wrestle in a friendly manner, cats that chase toys, primates that engage in mock fighting or grooming, all these behaviors can signal a positive internal state. Lower levels of stress hormones, like cortisol, also point to contentment and good welfare in both humans and non-humans. Of course, we have to be careful with anthropomorphism, projecting human thoughts and feelings onto animals. but the convergence of evidence from neuroscience, biology, and behavior studies strongly suggests that animals can experience forms of joy, security, and contentment. In humans, what sets our happiness apart is our ability to reflect, plan for the future, and construct elaborate narratives around our emotions. Still, the evolutionary roots are shared. As complex social beings, we shouldn't be surprised if we see parallels in how we and other species experience positive states. Key factors that contribute to human happiness. Now, let's zero in on what makes us happy. Research points to a multitude of factors spanning health, relationships, environment, and personal mindset. Let's break them down. Physical and biological factors. Health and exercise. Regular physical activity releases endorphins and can buffer stress. Adequate sleep and balanced nutrition similarly support mood and energy levels. There's research suggesting we each have a set point for happiness, influenced by our genes. While this baseline can shift somewhat, it serves as a reminder that biology is part of the puzzle. Psychological factors. Positive emotions and self-talk. Experiencing gratitude, hope, and contentment can raise our overall life satisfaction. Similarly, how we talk to ourselves, whether kindly or critically, can tip our emotional scales. Personality and resilience. Traits like optimism and conscientiousness often correlate with higher subjective well-being. The ability to cope with stress through healthy strategies, like mindfulness, reframing setbacks, or seeking social support, also has a major impact. 3. Social and interpersonal factors of high-quality relationships. One of the most reliable findings in happiness research is that supportive relationships, be they friendships, family ties, or romantic partnerships, boost well-being. Community and belonging. Whether you volunteer, participate in a faith group, or join local clubs, feeling part of a larger community can foster a sense of purpose and reduce loneliness. Environmental and socioeconomic factors are meeting basic needs. It's tough to be happy if you lack security, shelter, or food. Research shows that money can boost happiness up to a certain point. Once basic comfort is achieved, its effect tends to level off. Work and autonomy. Finding engaging work, having a sense of control over your tasks, and enjoying a reasonable work-life balance can be powerful contributors to day-to-day happiness. 5. Meaning and purpose or eudaimonic well-being. Beyond chasing pleasure, many people derive deeper contentment from purpose-driven goals or spiritual and ethical beliefs. Personal growth, setting and accomplishing meaningful goals, learning a new skill, pursuing a creative project, or nurturing a strong moral compass, feeds into a broader sense of fulfillment. What's especially striking is how these dimensions often reinforce one another. Physical health supports mental well-being, and solid relationships offer both emotional and practical support. It's a reminder that happiness is truly a holistic experience, grounded in multiple facets of our lives. What causes unhappiness? Of course, understanding happiness also requires knowing what undermines it. Life inevitably has ups and downs, but chronic unhappiness often arises from recurring stresses or unmet needs. Let's examine common contributors to unhappiness. 1. Physical and biological factors. Chronic health issues or pain. Living with unmanaged pain or serious illness can take a huge toll on a person's emotional well-being. Lack of sleep and substance misuse, sleep deprivation wreaks havoc on our mood and cognition, while over-reliance on substances can disrupt normal brain chemistry. 2. Psychological and emotional factors. So negative effect and anxiety. Habitual negative thinking, constant worry or ongoing stress can diminish our capacity to cope. Unhealthy coping. Turning to denial, avoidance, or self-destructive behaviors, like excessive alcohol use, aggression, or binge eating, often perpetuates cycles of unhappiness. 3. Social and interpersonal factors. Isolation and conflict, toxic relationships, or the absence of supportive social ties can be profoundly draining. bullying or discrimination, feeling unsafe or undervalued in one's community due to prejudice or harassment, corrodes self-esteem and trust. Environmental and socioeconomic factors, financial insecurity, poverty or joblessness creates constant stress. When basic needs aren't met, higher level pursuits, like personal growth, can feel out of reach. Unsafe living conditions, crime-ridden or polluted environments heighten fear and stress, undermining day-to-day well-being. Cultural and existential dimensions, misalignment with values, feeling that you're living in a way that contradicts your deeper principles, or feeling pressured by societal standards you can't meet, can breed despair. Systemic inequality. Large-scale social injustices can lead to community-wide resentment, anger, or hopelessness. Observing someone's change in behavior, like withdrawal from activities, repeated expressions of hopelessness, or neglect of responsibilities, can signal deeper unhappiness. The good news is that these signs can also prompt supportive interventions, whether through therapy, community resources, or simply reaching out and offering empathy. The world's happiest countries. Now, let's look at the big picture. Which countries consistently rank highest in happiness surveys? According to the World Happiness Report, several countries repeatedly top the list, including Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Israel, the Netherlands, Sweden, Norway, Switzerland, Luxembourg, and New Zealand. Most of these nations feature strong social welfare and healthcare systems, high GDP per capita with resources invested in education and infrastructure, emphasis on work-life balance, policies that encourage reasonable work hours and ample vacation time, high levels of social trust and freedom, coupled with relatively low levels of corruption, robust social networks and a sense of community cohesion. The Nordic nations, in particular, are well known for a balanced approach. They ensure citizens' basic needs are covered, foster equality, and provide opportunities for personal and professional fulfillment. While no society is perfect, these examples indicate that when governments, communities, and individuals collaborate on well-being, happiness levels tend to rise. A profound question people often ask is, do any of the world's major religions promote happiness and compassion more effectively than others? The short answer, all major faith traditions emphasize compassion and contain a version of the golden rule, typically stated as treat others as you would like to be treated. Let's highlight a few. Christianity. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, teaches love of neighbor, charity, and forgiveness. Judaism. What is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow underscores communal responsibility and ethical living. Islam. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself, calls for compassion and justice. Buddhism. Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful, points to loving kindness, metta, and compassion, karuna. Hinduism. Do naught unto others which would cause you pain if done to you, highlights non-harm, ahimsa, and moral duty, dharma. Sikhism. Stresses universal brotherhood and service, seva, framed within an emphasis on treating others with the same care one desires. Because they all share the golden rule, it's difficult to single out one religion as the best at fostering happiness. Often what matters most is personal engagement with the tradition, finding a supportive community, and sincerely practicing core virtues like empathy, generosity, and gratitude. Indeed, any framework, religious or secular, that nurtures kindness, community, and a sense of larger purpose can support human flourishing. The meaning of life in a vast cosmos. In this final section, we tackle a grand philosophical question. Given the vastness of time and space, does life have meaning? And does this meaning differ among various forms of life? Subjective view, so existentialism. Philosophers like Jean-Paul Sartre and Albert Camus argue that the universe is inherently indifferent. We must create our own meaning through choices and commitments. This can feel daunting, but it's also liberating. There's no cosmic script limiting what we can value or become. Humanistic psychology. Figures like Abraham Maslow see meaning in personal growth, relationships, and creativity. Even if the cosmos is silent on the question of purpose, we can generate it through our experiences and goals. Objective or cosmic perspective. So religious teachings. Many faiths hold that a divine presence or universal intelligence imbues life with inherent purpose, be it to learn moral lessons, form loving communities, or draw closer to a higher power. Teleology in nature. Some thinkers propose that the universe trends toward complexity and consciousness, suggesting an overarching direction to life. Variation among life forms, so, a single-celled organism likely doesn't conceptualize meaning. Yet from an ecological standpoint, its existence is crucial for life's interconnected web. Bees pollinate flowers, sustaining entire ecosystems. Whales foster ocean health through their feeding and migration patterns. O humans, with our capacity for deep reflection, create layered cultural meanings through art, science, morality, and spirituality. So yes, meaning does vary with cognitive complexity, but that doesn't negate the intrinsic role each life form plays in its own niche. 4. Reconciling cosmic vastness. Some find an inspiring sense of awe in the enormity of the universe. It underscores the preciousness of consciousness and the miracle that we're here at all to wonder about it. Others argue that the very finitude of life, its limitations and impermanence, sparks urgency and care, which can render our personal and communal pursuits even more meaningful. In the end, whether life's meaning is discovered, created, or a combination of both is something each of us grapples with at our own pace. The one constant is that humans have a remarkable ability to ask these questions and to craft meaningful narratives, something truly special given the immensity of the cosmos. We surveyed which countries tend to rank highest in happiness, explored reputable organizations that study and promote well-being, and looked at how major world religions frame compassion and the golden rule. Finally, we placed all this in the context of a universe so vast that it challenges us to consider whether life has meaning at all. Thanks for joining me on this journey. If there's one takeaway, it's that happiness isn't merely a fleeting emotion. It's an ongoing interplay of our biology, environment, social connections, sense of purpose, and yes, even our relationship with the vast cosmos beyond. Whether you find that sense of meaning in community, creativity, faith, or the simple pleasures of daily life, remember that each person's path is unique. I hope today's episode has sparked new reflections for you. If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, family, or anyone curious about the deeper questions of what makes us happy and what makes life worth living. Should you want to explore happiness in more depth, there are several reputable organizations and initiatives worth knowing about. 1. Happiness Alliance CO. A nonprofit dedicated to promoting well-being by providing tools like the Happiness Index, which surveys emotional and life satisfaction across communities. The Happiness Projecto. Sparked by Gretchen Rubin's best-selling book, The Happiness Project, this initiative offers practical advice on creating personal happiness projects that focus on areas like relationships, work, and self-care. Positive Psychology Center at the University of Pennsylvania, founded by Dr. Martin Seligman, often referred to as the father of positive psychology. The center provides courses, resources, and research on resilience, grit, and the science of flourishing. Exploring resources like these can offer guidance on how to measure happiness, build supportive communities, and integrate well-being practices into everyday life.
Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, take care and stay curious.